I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, coming to you on this Wednesday, April the 12th. Coming to you every week. You can find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined by Gene Phelps. Blake Morgan is not here. He's out on assignment. We'll explain why in a few moments. But we got a packed show here, Gene. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. I think I can talk about a little bit of everything today.
Well, good, because we've got a little bit of everything. We've got hoops, we've got football, we got baseball, we even got a little bit of powerlifting, maybe some golf, some archery. I mean, it is kind of the busiest time of the year in a lot of ways. And just a little note, we talked last week about all-area basketball. We thought it might run this past Sunday, but I guess space did not allow, so it's just kind of wait and see.
I'm told it will possibly run Sunday. We hate that we have to keep delaying it. It's been ready for about a month, but it is what it is. We need two wide-open pages, and sometimes that's just not what we get, so we're kind of
at the mercy of whoever does that stuff.
Yeah, we're at the mercy. We're making money, though, see.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that'll get in this Sunday. Look for that, to players and coaches of the year, and we've talked about that plenty. Speaking of basketball, let's stick with that for now. Let's start with the big news this week of John Stroud. We got some coaching moves in the area, both football and basketball. We'll start with the basketball move. John Stroud is retiring after several years at New Albany. I believe 16 total over two stints. Way back in the 80s, he coached the boys, won back-to-back state titles in 86-87, led the girls. He returned after leaving for a while. He returned in 04, I think it was, and coached the girls and led them to a state title in 2011. And so John Stroud has obviously been very successful. He's coached 32 years in all. He's coached at JUCO level, the college level. And so he's been successful wherever he's gone. Had a record of 248 and 131 as the girls' coach, his most recent coaching. So, Gene, I don't know if he's done with coaching. I think he's leaving open the possibility of still coaching. But, I mean, he's just been consistently one of the best coaches in the area.
Yeah, I had called John. I've got a column written on him that'll run sometimes, kind of like our all-area team. It's ready to go. John wanted me to please note that he was resigning as coach.
Right.
He was not retiring from coaching.
I may have misspoken when I said retire. Yeah. He is resigning. Doesn't mean he's done coaching.
Yeah, now he is, I believe John told me he's 59.
Yeah, he's still young.
Yeah, and he's got a dry cleaners that he owns, and he's got an insurance agency in New Albany. And he was talking about, you know, he said my wife and I were talking, and, you know, it comes up Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays, and we're always playing in some kind of tournament. We've never been able to really, you know, all our holidays have been based around trying to play ball and practice and things like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if John didn't take just a year off and see if he wants to come back to coaching. I'm sure if a nice job opened up, maybe on a junior college or a college level, that he wouldn't maybe consider doing something like that, or the right high school job, he might go back. But right now, he has resigned, but boy, was he successful, and successful as a player too.
Yeah,
I mean, he's still the third all-time leading scorer in the SEC career points.
Yeah, he was a really good player for Ole Miss back when Ole Miss wasn't that great at basketball.
We were laughing, and his dad was quite the hoops phenom up here in these parts. Predated me, Johnny Stroud.
Okay.
And Johnny died at age 40, had a heart attack. John was 12 years old, I believe he told me. But his dad was quite the player. And John kind of, he said, I was in his mother. John's father was All-State for 4 years at Macedonia, which is a high school that was in Prince County.
Right.
And his mom was All-State also as a player at Macedonia. And his sister was All-State player at West Union, along with John was an All-State player at West Union. So he said, and when I was 6'7" in the 10th grade, I was destined to be a basketball player.
Yeah, ended up being a really good one for West Union, All-State player. And as we mentioned, he went on to Ole Miss, was an All-SEC performer, so had a brief career in the NBA with the Houston Rockets, and then I guess shortly after that got into coaching.
He did, went to work. He spent one season as an assistant for Wimp Sanderson in Alabama.
Yeah, how about that? And he spent several years at Millsaps.
He did. I believe he was there 13 years at Millsaps. Yeah, yeah. Prior to that, he'd been 2 years at East Mississippi Community College down in Scuba, and went to Millsaps. I remember being a little surprised by that move. He'd been mentioned. You know, he coached with Harvey Childers in his first stint at New Albany, and Harvey had a team. I think they went undefeated and won a state championship. Then Harvey left and went to Northeast Community College.
Right, right.
And John took his place and won back-to-back state championships. And a lot of people were thinking at the time when the Ole Miss job was coming available that maybe Harvey Childers would be the guy, and he'd bring in John Stroud as his assistant. I remember I actually followed up on that story because I had some phone calls.
Interesting.
And but anyway, that never materialized.
Was that been around the time of Ed Murphy?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Prior to Ed Murphy. And I'm trying to remember who was the Ole Miss basketball coach prior to Ed. And he kind of left like in August. Took a job at Kansas City, Missouri.
If it predates Ed Murphy, I'm not too clear.
Yeah, University of Missouri, Kansas City. Left and went there. And I can see him right now. And so they were scrambling for a coach.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems like, you know, John, I mean, he probably could have coached at that level if he'd really – really wanted to, but
he probably you know, who knows, in hindsight, I mean, we don't know what was going on with his career.
Sure.
And his marriage, and if he had kids already, you know, those types of things. He was at Alabama.
Right.
If he'd have stayed at Alabama and worked a couple more years for Sanderson, he might have moved, you know.
Yeah.
Kept going, but he wanted a head job and got one probably at what, 23, 24 years old at East Mississippi, so you can't beat that.
No, you can't. And went on to be very successful, as we mentioned, and, you know, ended up just, you know, ended up coming back home.
Right.
Union County native, of course, everybody from around here knows that basketball around here has an excellent legacy, especially in Union County. We got Myrtle and Ingomar and New Albany, and, you know, those schools always doing well in basketball.
You know, it's always a rivalry between Union and Prentice County, and I find it ironic that John's parents were Prentice County products, and they raised the most prolific scorer and probably the biggest superstar to come out of Union County.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. 6'7" John Stroud, big in a lot of ways. And nice guy, too. I enjoyed covering him when I covered high school.
Yeah, he's a pleasure to cover. He really is.
Certainly is. So, John Stroud, now, and they've already got a replacement, Misha at Washington. I don't know how old she is. Fairly young, though, because she played for him on that 2011 team, didn't she?
She
that
did one on the the 2010 team the year before went undefeated till they lost in the championship game. And John told me afterwards, he said, I promise you this, we'll be back down here next year, and we will not be undefeated coming into the state tournament. And he was. He played a really tough schedule, lost 3-4 games, and won the state championship. But Misha was a post player for him.
Yeah.
Those were the teams with Jasmine Spears.
Yep.
So you had to worry about Jasmine on the perimeter or taking you off the dribble, and you had to worry about Misha inside. And she's been his assistant, and they gave her the job. And I saw where he was quoted the other day that he was glad that she got the job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So good for her. So should be a smooth transition there for the New Albany girls. Other bit of basketball news before we move on to some football coaching moves. LaDavious Drain has been committed to Southern Miss for a while. Today he signed with Southern Miss, and that's where Blake Morgan is. He's down in Calhoun City covering that. LaDavious, one of the most prolific scorers in the region.
I mean, the guy's a 6'5 forward. He's averaging 29 points a game, 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yes, very
Southern Miss got themselves a good player there in LaDavious Drain. So let's move on to football. Got a couple of coaching changes here in the offseason at Smithville. Of course, the perennially is a good football program. And Chad Collins had 3 good years there. I think he won, 32 games?
32 games,
yeah.
I saw. Yeah. He got his team in the North Half Finals the last 2 years. They
sure
didn't win, but they were there. You know, Smithville's a powerful 1A program. They have 40-plus players turn out for on the varsity every year.
That's good for 1A.
And that makes them a power in 1A.
Yeah.
You know, when you have that many kids out for football.
Yeah, and so Chad is headed to Raleigh. He'll be a head football coach and athletic director.
Yeah, it's a 3A school. 3A school, so it's a step up, even though he's a Smithville native.
Yeah.
And a brother of Toby Collins, who's a coach at Northwest Rankin.
Yeah, so. Former Itawamba coach.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
so
a former star running back at Smithville.
That's Terry right.
Collins. So
we'll see who Smithville gets to replace Chad Collins there. I mean, again, that's a pretty El Primo job to have.
It is for a 1A program. Yes, that's a great job.
I'll be interested to see who they get there. Bruce, also normally a very strong program. They've struggled of late. Ken Chandler leaving after just one season, had a tough year there. Bruce,
Ken told me when I talked with him on the phone, he said I've re-retired. he was at Winona 5 years ago, and he retired from public schools and started drawing his Purr's retirement, went to Winona Academy and coached.
Yep.
The Bruce job came open. He thought, hey, that's the Bruce job. So he took it. They went 4-8 this past season, but they still fielded a pretty competitive team. But after he got there, he was living in Bruce 5 days a week. His family was living in Winona. His children were going to school in Winona. And he had an opportunity to go to Grenada Kirk Academy and just be the offensive coordinator and not the head coach. And the principal at Grenada Kirk now is his former principal who was at Winona.
Right.
So anyway, it was the perfect move for him to be able to go back home and re-retire, and as he said, start getting my 13th check and do something a little less stressful.
Yeah, it's
not be the head coach.
Yeah, not be the head coach at Bruce, where they expect where they expect to win,
and where they expect you to beat Calhoun City every year.
Exactly.
So
we'll have to see who Bruce gets there to replace Ken.
Another great
Chandler.
Job, though.
Another good job, a small school coaching job. Let's talk a little bit of baseball, Gene. We're getting down toward the end of the regular season. Tupelo, of course, they clinched the 2-6-A division title last week, I guess it was. And they
did.
Then they come out Tuesday and lose one. It's a meaningless loss, I guess, if there is such a thing. But they lost to South Panola.
Yeah, they made a couple of errors that hurt them in the field and allowed South Panola to get two unearned runs. It wound up being the difference in the game.
Yeah.
Tupelo's 15-8 right now. I believe they've got another couple of games scheduled this week, as you call them, meaningless games. They'll be trying to work on some things.
Sure.
They'll get a first-round bye. They were top seed. They'll try to Justin Reed, the coach, told me he was going to try to put together some kind of game next week, a little practice-type game against a 5A school. Mm. So, you know, the Waves had a pretty solid year. They've got fairly good pitching. They've got a number of good players up and down the lineup that can put the ball in play. You know, I think Blake Morgan had told me they had been maybe a little suspect on defense earlier in the season. They were starting to play a little bit better. And, of course, last night they had two errors that hurt them.
Yeah.
So I guess if they can eliminate that and get some solid pitching, that's the toughest part about playing in 6A. You better have at least two good pitchers, and three would be great.
Yeah.
And some teams have two and three guys that are really good. So,
and that'll get you far.
So we'll see how far Tupelo gets. Jackson Bridges is their Tuesday starter, as they call him.
Yeah.
And he had a good performance last night. He struggled a little bit to begin with, but you kind of struggle sometimes. Well, I mean, he was getting the first outs, and then he was having some errors made behind him, and he held it together and struck out 7, scattered 6 hits. I mean, that's not a bad outing.
No, not at all.
And, he's been solid for him this season, so he's a Meridian Community College signee, I think.
Okay.
And anyway, the Golden Wave will wrap it up next week and then take a week off and kind of wait to see what happens.
And Division 2-4A had a game Blake was at last night. It was Ripley at Lafayette, and Ripley winning 9-3. Kind of a sloppy game, Ripley taking advantage of several Lafayette errors. In fact, I think Lafayette made 5 errors, and Ripley turned that into several runs.
You know, this Blake and I got back from the state basketball tournament, and baseball season, softball season were almost over, essentially.
Yeah.
And so we had an opportunity to get to a lot of games and see a lot of teams. I told Blake, I said, look at this Ripley team's 18-1. Go cover them. So Blake's actually got another story about Ripley coming out later this week.
Okay.
Kind of went there on a fact-finding mission and covered a game while he was there.
Yeah.
And so we'll have a little bit more about this Ripley team that is now 19-1.
Yeah, they're good.
Later in the week.
Yeah, they scored 6 runs off the 5 errors. The final was 9-3. There's your difference in the game. Just Medlin had a great outing on the mound for Ripley. He ended up striking out 11, including the final 7. He closed out the game, striking out the final 7 batters that he faced. So, like you said, Ripley 19-1, 9-0 in division. Lafayette falls to 10-13-1 overall, 6-3 in division. And look for Blake's story on Ripley baseball in the coming days. We got other stuff going on here, Gene, besides just baseball. We've got, for instance, the state powerlifting meet.
Right.
A lot of grunting in Jackson this week.
Yeah, if you had checked your high school activities association schedule, you would see it was scheduled for, and still is, for April the 22nd. I just happened to get a little note from somebody, and it went, it's this Friday. And
yeah,
it is.
A week early.
Surprise. So anyway, we will be staffing a state powerlifting tournament. I talked with Perry Lyles. I'll have a story running on that maybe tomorrow. And Perry's the Calhoun City football coach, powerlifting guru down there.
Right.
And has been from day one.
Right.
And he's also the tournament director down there for him.
Okay.
We've got Perry likes the chances of Oxford repeating in 5A. In Pontotoc in 4A, definitely. Pontotoc's been around for years winning in powerlifting, so nothing new. But, yeah, day of grunting and weights clanging. I know I was down there last year. I would not want to cover the state powerlifting meet with a headache.
No.
I mean, because there was a constant – I just want to turn around and go, would you quit dropping those weights, please?
It's noisy.
It is a noisy day.
One other thing going on I want to hit on real quick. Tupelo Christian Prep is holding a golf tournament, are they not?
Yeah, I've got a story running on that Monday. Easter Monday, mm-hmm. Tupelo Christian Prep is hosting a 14-team tournament. Most of the teams are from the area. I think he's got Choctaw Central coming up to golf. It'll be boys and girls, and they're going to have to do a shotgun start because they've got so many players and be able to get 18 holes in.
Yeah.
But Grant Smallwood, the coach at TCPS, they're defending 1A state champions.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be hosting again this year at Big Oaks where this tournament will be.
Right.
So it's just a chance to get some of the top golfers in the area, some of the smaller schools together. It'll be a real good day. I plan on going out there at some time during the day. And, you know, state golf's just around the corner at the first week in May.
Yeah, we're getting to the postseason. Yeah.
So, by the way, Grant Smallwood told me yesterday when I talked with him that TCPS will also host the girls' class 1. The girls are in class 1s, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Because they don't have enough to be in 1 through 6A. So they will host the Class 1 state tournament the week after all the boys' state tournaments and everything. So it would be the week after the 5th and 6th. The first week in May would be the second week in May.
Okay.
At Big Oak. So TCPS hosting boys' and girls' state tournaments. And he thinks they've got a shot to win one of the boys again this year.
Yeah. I think we've also got tennis division tournaments going on this week, so they're getting into the postseason.
Yeah,
track and field is winding down.
I actually looked and saw something Tupelo High had tweeted. You know, they'd already had their division tournament. They will actually begin, I think, play in the first round of team competition. You know, tennis now is you compete as teams, and then you have individuals too,
right?
Which is later.
Right.
So anyway, I believe all that starts next week.
Okay. Well, let's wrap up the show with our Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, recognizing a male and a female athlete for their accomplishments in their sport. And so, Gene, let's start with the female athlete.
Well, we will. We got Summer Crider from Orville. I believe she's been an Athlete of the Week before.
That's a familiar name.
Yeah, she's 10-0. Mm-hmm. She had a big game the other night against Kossuth.
Yep.
Pitched a one-hitter. Morville's now 19-2, and they're within a week of starting the playoffs there. Summer also has hit a home run. I believe that was her first home run of the season.
Yeah.
She hits quite a few in slow pitch.
Right.
But she had 2 hits. So Summer Crider, a senior, I believe she signed with Blue Mountain.
And Morville beat Tupelo over the weekend too, didn't they?
Correct.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, sure did. All right, male athlete.
Well, I've got Parker Flint, who's an archer. the state archery tournament went on this
Monday and
the
Tuesday,
last two days.
It? Yeah.
He's from South Pontotoc. He shot a 292 out of 300 and had 23 bullseyes. If he says halt or I shoot, you need to halt.
Yeah.
or you'll get plugged. Real quick to go over, South Pontotoc won its second consecutive state championship in 3A. Saltillo in 5A won its sixth straight. Tremont in 1A won its fourth straight.
Wow.
And Mantachie in 2A yesterday won its fourth consecutive state tournament.
Nice.
So congratulations to all our Hill Country is archery country.
Hill Country archery. It's like Hill Country basketball.
There you go.
All right. That's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, coming to you every Wednesday afternoon. And you can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com or on Twitter at djournalpreps. Gene's on Twitter at Gene Phelps. Blake is on there at Blake Morgan DJ. I'm on there at Brad Locke. And send us an email if you want to, preprally@journalinc.com, with your questions or thoughts about things. Quick programming note, I will be out of town next week. No show next week. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. So thanks for joining us again. Until next time, I'm Brad Locke for Gene Phelps. You'll have a good one.